Welcome to the View Church Tableview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. You're listening to a message from Andre Krief.
We're going to carry on with our series Closer, and I just want to thank Hilton and the guys. For me, they must probably, right now in our country, if you know worship, I reckon they're the top worship guys right now, putting out music. And of course, it can sound, you can go, oh, you're just saying that. But we've been involved in worship and doing albums, and what you guys are doing is amazing. And you guys always bring your A game, so we appreciate that. And it's a perfect Sunday to carry on with our series. And if you haven't been part of any of our series, currently we're doing a series called Closer. And this is actually all about you getting closer to Jesus, okay? The best thing I can do for you guys at church is move closer to Jesus, because then hopefully I can move you closer to Jesus and closer in your relationship with God, getting to know Him. And in our series, what we've spoken about is we've asked you to measure what you're spending your time, your talent, and your money on. It's almost like this paper trail that leads you to what you're actually worshiping, what you're closer to. Because every one of us worship, and we spoke about it, we're designed to worship. So you actually can't stop it. It's actually on your life, but you can direct it. And we also mentioned that God actually likes you enjoying life. And there's things you enjoy. You might enjoy sport. I enjoy sport. You might enjoy music. I enjoy surfing. I enjoy just any actions. I dig it. But you know, God really digs it when I dig it. But He doesn't like it when those things are more important than Him. Okay. And that's when we actually start to measure where we're at. Are we getting closer to stuff and making certain things in our life more important than God? And if you go, flip, I'm doing that, I think we all do that sometimes. And it's always good for us to come before God and actually look at our lives and what we, who we are worshiping. Are we actually worshiping God in the way we live our life? So God doesn't mind you enjoying things, but He doesn't ever want to come second to that thing. And we as a church never want to sort of preach against things you enjoy. We just want to always preach the name of Jesus. That's the name above every other name. So God has a way that He likes to be worshipped. And today I thought with 24 Skies here, we want to get practical. And I remember getting practical like this personally years ago about worship. And I've always wanted to bring it. As a youth pastor, I used to always look at this. And at one point, I used to oversee the worship in the church. So this was stuff that was always close to my heart, trying to understand what worship should look like. If you ask me what kind of worship I am, I'm a traditional worshiper. I like traditional worship. And I'll explain that, because you'll go, really? I'm actually not into contemporary worship. And you go, okay, you're really hurting me here, bro. Hilton's like, just checking me out. But I'm actually into traditional worship. And hopefully today what's going to happen is you're going to understand what traditional worship is. But in Luke 19, 37 to 40, it says, when He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Now this is famously known as Palm Sunday. This is known as Palm Sunday because people celebrated Jesus so much they wanted to give Him something. And they actually are putting palm leaves on a road, and He was riding a donkey. Jesus, you know, He's the man when He chooses to take a donkey and make it look cool, you know what I mean? And use it for His procession. But they put palm leaves down, and they joyfully, they began joyfully praising God in loud voices, joyfully praising God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. So I'm going to show you, be like this. Blessed is the King who comes in. Like, let's look at the scripture that said loud voices, and they say these things, and peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, now this is very interesting. They said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So clearly, praise is what God deserves, and if we don't give it, even the rocks will cry out, the stones will cry out. So biblically, it's a picture of people praising God and worshiping God. But I'll let you know, in every generation, there's a group of Pharisees who try to quiet that praise. Shh, still turned the cat. No, let's be true, I grew up in that. In every generation, there's a contemporary worship that says, keep quiet. But traditional worship's loud. It's unstoppable. If all I got is palm leaves, I'm going to use palm leaves. I'm going to put it down. You can't stop me. So much so that the religious folk started to struggle. And they said, no, we're contemporary worshipers. I think what's happened in our world is we think traditional worship is quiet and contemporary worship is loud. But biblically, traditional worship is loud and contemporary worship is quiet. Let's not mess it up now. Some people would say we're a contemporary church. I'm hoping we're a biblical church, a Psalms church, a loud church. You know that the Bible says that in heaven, the praises of God would be louder than the loudest waterfall. If you stood at the bottom of Vic Falls or Niagara Falls, would you be able to hear anyone talk to you? Some of us are going to need earplugs when we get to heaven. Can we be clear? I'm actually a traditional worship guy. And not a contemporary worship guy. But we actually, I think even sometimes you have the religious folks who actually try to make it, swap it around. But we sometimes honor brick and mortar and establishments more than we just honor Jesus. We honor what people, what man thinks and man's rules instead of what the Bible says. So what is traditional worship? King David wrote a book called the Book of Psalms, and he wrote most of it, and there's 150 different chapters. It's the biggest book in the Bible. I reckon God sort of made it the biggest book in the Bible on purpose because he was going to write 150 chapters about praise, about worship. It's pretty much called the Psalms. It's just songs, a book of songs. And God gives us a style of praise and worship. And what's crazy about it doesn't look like Sunday. In the book of Psalms, it actually looks like Saturday at Newlands. Like I said, I'm into traditional worship. Now, who watched the All Black game, Springboks? Come on. I was like, my adrenaline was up here. I was like, I couldn't believe this. Can these guys hit each other this hard for 80 minutes? Tackle each other this much? And I was enjoying it. Now, I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I've watched soccer. And of course, clearly the God team is Liverpool. And Liverpool, when you watch them, temperature rises. You never walk alone. And the thing is, you know what I mean? Next week, there's a Curry Cup final. Between Sharks and Province, of course. Okay, we just don't accept that. There's not agreement in this room. If you watch a Pirates Chiefs derby, that place is going nuts. Okay? They are closer to praise and worship in the Book of Psalms than we are. That's it. That's Old Testament praise and worship. So the scriptures are written in Hebrew, Old Testament scripture. Most of the New Testament scripture is written in Greek. And what is interesting about these languages is if you look in the Hebrew, they have so many more words than us. So when they put it into English, they give us one word, but it could actually be a paragraph of words. Sometimes you're reading a word and it would be seven different words. And today, what I want to look at is the Hebrew word, just for the English word for praise and what the Hebrew words are. And if you look at praise, you will actually see that the Hebrew, there are seven different Hebrew words for praise in the original language. And I just want to quickly touch on those things. So let's remember, you reading the English word praise, this is what it would mean in the Hebrew. The first is halal, to rave, to boast, to celebrate. Of course, you can see the root word, if we can put halal up. Yes, no? The root would be for hallelujah, hey? Highest praise. Now, what that means in the Hebrew is to rave, to boast, to celebrate. It makes total sense for us to rave, to boast, to celebrate. For the Springboks, for Chiefs, for Pirates, for Liverpool, for the Stormers. But God says He actually wants that. He wants us to rave, to boast, to celebrate. Now, if you see somebody on TV raving, boasting, and celebrating, you see them, you identify them you give them identity based on what they're raving and celebrating, hey? So when you see somebody standing up cheering, face paint, you go, that's a Stormer supporter, that's a Chiefs supporter, that's a Pirates supporter, that's a Cape Town City supporter, that's a Province supporter, that's a Springbok supporter. God would like us to be the same. When people see who we are, they go, oh, that's a follower of Jesus. That's somebody who praises Jesus. See, sometimes we get so caught up in what people think about us. When we keep our praise soft, the only thing we protect is our egos. It's the only thing we protect. We don't actually give him glory. We just protect our egos. So I think what we've created is what we call traditional worship. But that's not what the Bible says. Traditional worship's loud. It's vibrant. So low-key conservative praise ends up just protecting our egos. Psalm 35, 18 says, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. And this will say, I will halal you before the people. That's how you'd actually read that verse. I will rave. I will boast. I will celebrate before all the people. It's not even a private thing. It's a public thing. The next word is yada. It's not Yoda, but yada. I'm sure CJ would love it if it was Yoda praise. But we've got him off that. He got saved. And it's to acknowledge in public. That's what I love. People who got baptized, in a way, were involved in yada praise. They acknowledged Jesus publicly. You know who else acknowledged Jesus publicly? Just a question. Who here serves Jesus? Raise your hands. Right now, that is a picture of yada praise. That is to acknowledge him publicly. I acknowledge. I'm serving Jesus. So sometimes we go, why are these O's lifting their hands? Is it just a view church vibe? Actually, it's a traditional vibe of praise and worship. To acknowledge him publicly. You are my savior. I'm a terrible God compared to you. You're an awesome God. I acknowledge that you're the one who leads my life. I follow you. So to acknowledge God with an extended hand, that's another way of saying it, yada praise. To acknowledge God with an extended hand. Why do we do this? Because that's what God asks for. He actually asks us to worship him like that. If God said, Andre, I dig you to worship me standing on your head, I'll do it. He's God. He asks. It's not really what I ask. It's what he asks that's important to me. Psalm 138 verse 1 says, I'll praise you, so I will yada you, O Lord, with all my heart. So he's saying, I will acknowledge you public with hands raised with all my heart. It's not even a, it's actually a passionate thing. The next word is Barak. And yes, that's the same word as the ex-president of United States of America. Barak means to bless by kneeling or bowing. You know what's so interesting is the same word for praise can mean this, can be to rave, to boast, to celebrate, and this at the same time. What a beautiful, big word. To bow, to kneel, to actually acknowledge that you, to acknowledge them by surrendering. You present yourself to someone by, and you are surrendering or bowing. Psalm 103 says, Barak the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost beings, Barak his holy name. That's how it would read in the Hebrew. This verse actually, funny enough, goes on to speak about if those people who surrender and bow before him, they actually get to experience all his benefits. And he says he forgives all sins and he heals all diseases. That's what the psalm goes on to say. The next word is zama, making music to God with strings. If you read zama correctly in the Hebrew, it actually is to pluck, almost an aggressive plucking of strings. Clearly, Jesus is into heavy metal. Can we just clear, he's just cool. Imagine God like saying, okay, this is how you do it. Come, here's how you praise me. Sometimes, like, I'm into traditional worship. He actually, it's crazy that this is what he puts in the Bible. The original word would be to pluck those strings. Come on, brother. Pluck those strings for Jesus. It's good to zama the Lord and make music to your name. That's what Psalm 92 verse 1 says. That's what it says. That's how you'd read it. It's good to zama the Lord and make music to your name. So you see, it's all, God actually likes it when we make music for him. If you're a musician in this church and you're not using your gift in the church, get into worship. Why don't you start using your gift to bring him more glory? This week we had another two electric guys join the team. I'm so excited for them, but they're going to be doing this. If you look at Psalm 51 to 6, this, it's such a full verse. Praise the Lord. Let's read together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. That's not somebody. That's not a Man United supporter. That's actually an instrument. Anyway, I'm just saying that anyway. Praise Him. I know, terrible joke. I just had to go there. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Dancing? Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Jeez, can you just quieten down? Stop crashing those cymbals, bro. Like, Stilte in die Kerk. Anyway. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Sheesh, that's quite a crazy description of praise and worship service, eh? I was in Alabama, and they had a marching band. We went to a football game. They had 103,000 people in the stadium, and they had a 450-piece band, and those guys were crashing. I followed the marching band. They had a procession of like 700 people before, and we followed them. It's quite amazing. We meet in this park, and they do it. And they do the. They were rocking it out, and then you follow them to the stadium, and they had this marching procession. That was probably what God would want to, who would enter in on. We enter. He'd say, "Come, you can enter into my presence on that." Hey. And sometimes then we can get frustrated with the church. But a lot of the time it's those Pharisees who are walking in saying, they shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be getting exuberant, raving about Jesus. Praise in heaven sounds like the loudest waterfall. You and I know, come on, who's been at an event or a sports event when the crowd's just getting nuts? Mexican waves. I love it. I know you love it. God would love it even more. Passion. Then Shabbat, to address in a loud tone, to shout. That's the other Hebrew word for praise. God likes us to shout. Personally, I've always decided, since I got saved, I'll never shout louder for my sports teams than I'll shout for God. Here's the deal, and I don't say this in a weird way. I love my wife and my kids, but my shout for them, even on the sports field, can't be louder than my shout for Him. My best thing I give my kids is my love for God and my praise for God, because I lead myself towards Him, I grow close to Him, and then they can follow. So Psalm 63:3-4, because Your love is better than life, because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. It's everything. Because Your love is better than sports. Because Your love is better than my job. Because Your love is better than Cape Town Sound Test. Because Your love is better than Table Mountain. Because Your love is actually better even than my wife and my kids. And don't get confused. I love my wife and my kids. But God's love is greater. Because Your love is greater, You will get the loudest shout in my life. You will get the praise. I will shabak You as long as I live. And Your name I will lift up, in Your name, I'll lift up my hands. Again. Toda, to lift hands in adoration. Hands lifted in worship. Surrender. The best description I give you is if somebody held a gun, you said, cool, okay. I surrender. God, You are a better leader than I am a leader of my life. I surrender. Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers praise glorifies Me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. So it says, he who offers toda glorifies Me. He who offers his hands surrender. He who surrenders himself glorifies Me. And then the last word, tequila. Tequila. Exuberant singing. I know what you're thinking. Tequila. And the thing is, if you read this verse, it actually is quite a funny way of reading it. Let's read it together. Psalm 34, verse 1. If you read it. So, I'll extol the Lord all the time. His tequila will always be on my lips. I don't know. Did Jesus just do that on purpose? God put that on purpose there? Come on, let's just... Come on, anyway. And His tequila will always be on my lips. Put the right tequila on your lips, not tequila, okay? I'm just saying. Because you could have the same results, but you're just confused. You know what I mean? So if you look at Psalm 108, 1 and 3, you'll see a lot of the words used together. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give summer. Even with my glory, I'll praise, I'll yada thee, O Lord, among the people. And I will sing tehillah unto thee among the nations. That's the worship service. That's traditional church praise. Let's be a church that never forgets that. Let's be a church that doesn't protect our egos. Let's be a church that doesn't think, how does man want us to worship? Let's be a church that doesn't listen to the people who are trying to actually come in with a contemporary worship that's quieter, that's suppressed, that's keep quiet. Let's always be a church that is exuberant, that raves. Let's be a church that gets lost in Him instead of lost just in society's way. Worship is love expressed. It is not. If it's not love, it's not worship. And if it's not expressed, it's not worship. Worship is love expressed. We have to grow in it. If you truly love someone, you will find out how they understand love, and you will find out how they want to be loved. And then you will love them that way. To love God's the same thing. It's to find out how He wants to be loved, how He wants to be worshipped. Of course, God, this gentleman, you know what I mean, comes to God, what's the greatest commandment? He asks, what's the ultimate? They have so many commandments. What is the greatest commandment? Then Jesus goes, well, I'm going to give you one that if you do it, you will find the others easy. But the same one I'll give you, if you don't do it, you will find the others hard. So I think the fact that Jesus has said that, in a way, like this is the greatest command. If you do this, you fulfill all the others. I think we need to listen to it. And it's in Mark 12, verse 30. Jesus answers with this. This is the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And you can leave that up. And I want to say this. A lot of you, if you're finding Christianity hard, it's because you're not focusing on this command. If you just focus on loving God more, you will enjoy the Word of God. If you love the God of the Bible, you'll love the Bible. Some of us are trying to fall in love with the Bible so that we can fall more in love with God, but you just need to fall more in love with God. Because here's the deal. I could try to fall in love with the list from Leanne. This is what Leanne likes. But that wasn't important to me. I wanted to fall in love with Leanne. And I'm like, whatever comes with you, babe, let's work through it. Let's do it. I want to show you love the way you understand love. Same with God. If you are struggling with your Christianity, today I want to give you an opportunity just to come back to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I want to fall in love with you. I want to know you better. So how do we do that? Number one, as we walk away today, all your heart and all your soul. That's how you do it. All your heart, all yourself. You express your affection to God. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never expressed what you think about God. And we're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up just to express it. Say, God, I love you. I worship you. Here's the thing. What do you love most? Whatever you love the most, you will sacrifice the most for. If you tell me, Andre, I love pizza, and you wake up at 10 at night on a Tuesday night after doing a quip or growth track, fast track, just throwing that in there, and you go, I'm craving pizza, and you drive to Domino's or wherever, and they come and they say, hey, sir, would you like a pizza? Yeah. Well, today we got a great special. We're selling pizzas for 2,000 Rand each. You'd go, I love pizza, but I'm not willing to pay the price for that price. So clearly, I maybe like pizza. I won't love pizza, because what I love, I'll pay a price for. So clearly, I just like pizza a lot, but I don't love pizza. And sometimes when it comes to serving God, we have to sacrifice things from our past, sacrifice personality traits, sacrifice styles of doing church that are actually not the way the Bible speaks about it. Styles of worshiping God, showing affection, getting into the Word. We have to go, actually, I like God and I need to move it up a level because I really want to fall in love with Him. I need to take it up. The second thing is all your mind. God wants you to put all your mind towards Him. Focus your attention. What do you think the most about? So the question is, what do I think about most? Are you putting your attention on God? Are you getting to the Word? That's how God wants to be worshipped. Your Christianity will change just by doing these things. And then all your strength. Use my abilities for God. Some of you actually just need to get serving. The church is still God's plan to reach the world. Most people are getting saved because of churches. 99% of the world is getting saved because of churches. People mobilizing, the body of Christ. Some of you need to start just getting involved. Using your abilities. Don't ever step back. You can give God all your soul, your heart, your mind, and your strength, your physical strength. What do I do most?
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.ca.za/giving.